You can listen to the Triple M Breakfast podcast anywhere. In the car, at work, in the showers. Ream, Australia's favourite hot water.
All right, here we go. Everybody get ready in 3, 2, 1.
Live from the top of Caxton Street, home of Suncorp Stadium, Lefties, Gambaros and the Caxton Hotel. On 104.5 Triple M and the Listener app, this is Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margot. Triple M
Breakfast. How was that for a weekend?
Hey, oh, incredible.
You all good?
Went fast, didn't it?
Oh, I don't know. Fun.
How drunk were you?
Not at all drunk.
Oh,
how
righto.
Drunk were you?
Well, I had wedding and then a recovery, so 2 days drunk.
Oh, good for you.
Was bigger. We anticipated the recovery would be...
Yeah, yep.
Nodding.
Correct.
Yeah, correct. No,
you told me. You behaved well at the wedding, and I was home by 9:30, so at the wedding, and then the recovery just ripped in because it was such a beautiful day Saturday.
Mm. Well, you start earlier too, because your recovery, you'll go to breakfast, right, and you're like, oh, we'll whip in a quick mimosa, and then it's game over.
And it's all downhill from there. How did the two new outfits go, Marto? You didn't talk about it last week, but you went shopping.
Oh, yes.
And you bought yourself some clothes.
I drove down in the ute because Kath had already gone down with her sisters. So there was a family wedding, everyone. Sorry to bore you. But yes, I had them laid out like they were ready to go.
Fancy.
And I felt really wonderful about myself.
Mm. Are we going to get a fashion review from you anytime soon? No.
You're
done.
Marto and Margot, Triple M Breakfast.
Incredible night on Saturday night, Marto and Dan. I headed down to the Gold Coast to Pacific Fair Event Cinemas where they held the Australian premiere of the biopic Elvis.
You ain't nothing but a hound.
That's right.
Was it the world
Elvis
premiere?
The movie. It was the Australian premiere. They had the Cannes Cannes a week or two earlier. Right. They had the Cannes Film Festival where it was premiered there. They got a 12-minute standing ovation at Cannes Film Festival after the film was played out. Priscilla Presley herself was there. She gave it the big tick of approval. She said, if Elvis was here, he would say... God damn, that boy is me. The gentleman who played Elvis, of course, in the film was Austin Butler, American kid, I'd say, because I think he's only like 20 years of age.
You showed me his photo. He's quite good looking.
He is incredibly beautiful. Mm. Not my type. I wouldn't say he's hot, sexy, but he is just gorgeous looking.
Yeah, looks like he's built in a laboratory,
he's
mate.
He's very
too
beautiful.
Perfect.
Yeah, too perfect. And really nice guy. I got to sort of come across him. There I was, found my way into the media area. I snuck in while someone was talking to the security guard. I just kind of looped in around the back. Well, everybody else was there.
Way
I was like, why don't I have a media pass? I work in media. But I snuck in and I got to see the red carpet. And so there was Tom Hanks. There was Olivia De Jonge, who is a young Australian actress who plays Priscilla Presley in the movie. There was Baz Luhrmann, of course, the director, Moulin Rouge, Australia, The Great Gatsby, and now Elvis. There was his wife, Catherine Martin, the same as your Kath.
She's a
Marto.
Costume designer.
She was the costume designer. Oh. She is on all of his films and she does an incredible job. There's a lot of rhinestones to glue on those jumpsuits. But yeah, it was a big night for the Gold Coast. Massive for local cast, local crew.
Big for Pacific Fair. Did Coles and Woolies do a lot of business?
can I just check that? How come we do a movie premiership at a shopping centre?
We were standing there behind the rope, you know, before they let you in.
The food court? Was it open?
Food locker? No, a foot locker. And my girlfriend said, all the anticipation and build up to be at the Elvis premiere and here I am standing outside Foot Locker at Pacific Fair.
It's glamorous.
It's a little bewildering.
Did Mr. Minute do a lot of business there?
A couple of heels.
For sure. You'd stay open late, wouldn't you?
But there was hundreds of everybody
Coast do hangers on well?
They love a hanger on her. But no, the premiere was there, Marto, of course, because she was the one that got the film into Queensland, obviously.
Oh, the premiere was at the premiere.
During the pandemic, Tom Hanks, of course, the first, I think, famous person in Australia to get COVID.
Oh, that's while he was doing Elvis.
Yeah, they had to shut down the filming. Yeah.
Super spreader Hanks.
We nearly had
to put him back on the island from Castaway.
They did.
Just isolated.
They didn't think that they were going to be able to finish the film, but they did. And Anastasia Palaszczuk was there, and she was very proud that this was filmed here, of course, in Queensland.
Oh, I'm very proud that we've been able to chose the goalie, and I'm told it was a bit of bug roll diplomacy.
Yeah, hilarious.
Yeah, that one person.
How come they were using the sound system from the chemist shop? We need a check on size 7 masseur sandals. Like, that. What is that?
That was actually my video. I took a video of the speeches. Okay. Baz Luhrmann spoke, obviously. Anastasia, we heard from her. Austin Butler, the guy that plays Elvis, he spoke, really lovely guy. Yeah. And then there was, of course, the highlight, the only real star in the room, and that was Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks was there.
Tom Hanks came out and he spoke, and he said that there was something...
Is he one of your favourite actors? I love the bloke. I reckon he's incredible.
I think he's incredible. I wouldn't say he's my favourite. I don't really have a favourite actor, but he is incredible. Yeah. And who knew he was a bit of a comedian?
There is no better place in the world to make a motion picture than right here on the Gold Coast. I speak from experience. I've shot films in Morocco, in Los Angeles, in New York City, in Seattle, and none of them have what the Gold Coast had. What is that? In two words, Dan Murphy. What a man, what a man!
It was good fun.
And he joked about the fact that he and Dan had become quite close during his stay here. They formed a bit of a relationship, got to know Dan Murphy very well, but chose not to swim at any of our beautiful beaches. He said, you guys have incredible beaches here, but you also have blue bottles and you also have sharks and you have rips. And, you know, whenever is there a good time to go swimming? Never. And so he did not enter the beach once for a swim here while he stayed on the Gold Coast for 18 months.
Wow.
What's wrong with you, Tom?
That movie. What was the movie with Wilson? Castaway. That really knocked him around.
He's got PTSD. Marto and
Margot, Triple M Breakfast. Margot, can I just check now? State of Origin, the coaches, and if anyone doesn't know, we've giving away Origin tickets as of Wednesday. We'll do the draw, etc. But Dobbo's in camp with them. I think they're leaving this morning to go to Sydney to do their last bit of preparation. The Origin team, they've been down the coast. Now, would you say they're pretty well looked after in terms of coaching brains? They've got Billy Slater.
Incredible.
They've got Cam Smith. They've got Jonathan Thurston. They've got Alan Langer. I see Greg Inglis was in camp there yesterday as well. You'd think...
Wasn't Wayne Bennett getting in Billy's ear as well?
That's right. He's got a direct line to him too. Now, so I don't know if it's a piss take or not. You know that Adam Jackson does... Adam Jackson, Channel 9. Yes.
Yep.
So he was doing an interview last night in the news, and apparently he goes, well, Jonathan Thurston told me, and Thurston's known for his wind-up, so it could be a piss-take, said that the other assistant coach that I didn't know he was already involved with, thanks, Thurston, the other assistant coach is the one who does all the game plans and everything, Josh Hannay. And, of course, Josh Hannay, pretty handy player, 150 games for the Cowboys. But he's not Billy Slater and Cam Smith. He's responsible for the strategy.
Oh, wow.
Quite incredible. So
what is Cam Smith and Jonathan Thurston's roles?
I don't know. Because if they're not doing strategy, they seem to just walk around with a footy under their arm as far as I can tell.
You think Josh Hannay would be like defence or, you know, the wrestle.
A unit coach.
Yeah.
What do you call a unit coach? He seems to be the bloke in charge. And Adam Jackson put it to him. And you think about, while you're listening to that, think about what your strategy is.
Josh, how much work goes into planning the tactics for an Origin game?
Yeah, a little bit of work. Obviously, the preparation's quite short. So there's a real focus, obviously, around ourselves and getting ourselves right in that space of time. But certainly you dive into the opposition and you need to make sure our guys are really prepared for what's to come on Wednesday night.
Now, you're the wife of an Origin, former Origin player. Mm. What are the real tactics in Origin?
Just get out
bash
there and
tell
people.
Yeah. Bash him! Bash him! Him! Bash them all! That's all you need to know about Origin, is it?
Yeah, pretty much.
And then after about 78 minutes, the game opens up a bit.
Just get out there and whack blokes for 80 minutes.
Just hit anything. Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margo. Another day, another few stories about builders going under. God, Margo, it's been going on for the last few months. Big builders.
Mm.
Big builders who build thousands of houses a week are going under. And a lot of it's because, and we talked about it a year ago, the profitless boom. Everyone's so busy, but no one's making any money in the building game. Actually, that's what we want to open it out and just talk about it. Because now the latest one is, we all know timber's gone up, steel's gone up. door handles have gone up. Everything's gone up in price. And if you're locked into a contract, you're next thing you know, you're going broke. There's a tower. There's $140 million towers being built in Brizzy here. They've already had all the deposits for all the apartments and they've gone, right, nah, it's off because we can't make any money out of this.
Well, they're calling it
They gave everyone their deposit
so
back.
So they gave it back to them?
Yep. Everyone got their money back.
They just went, see you later.
Said, well, we're not going to build this because all of a sudden it was going to cost them, I think, $15 million more than they originally proposed to build it. That's their profit.
The estimated cost of building a new house has increased by $76,715 in 2 years.
In 2 years.
With the average construction expense exceeding $400,000 for the
it's
first time
ever. It's gone
up to 400
ever. Grand, right. Yep. And now LVLs, anyone in the construction industry will realise what LVLs are. They're 40% of them for the world are made in Russia. And so you can't get any bloody LVLs, which are perfectly straight, like they hard to explain. But they make the, if you build a two-story house.
Laminated timber, yeah.
They're your ceiling on the bottom floor and your floor for the top
floor.
Because
they're straight.
They're dead straight.
Gotcha. It says here, laminated timber is used to hold up the upper floor in two-story homes and said it was also used in single-story homes if people wanted timber that was dead straight, right. As not every tree grows perfectly.
Can we open this up? Builders, carpenters, people in the construction industry, what's happening in your little part of the world that's contributing to that for the first time new houses going over all average 400,000?
Is it just big builders or is it the little builders that are being affected by this? We're seeing big builders topple over at the big end. What about the little guys? Are you having to shut up shop in the construction industry because of this as well?
Or maybe they're going all right.
Are you managing to survive or are you not making any profit in it?
There's no money in the game. Adrian from the Gold Coast, where do you fit in and what are you hearing?
I'm a site manager for a small home builder.
Yeah.
Pretty well all the way from Brisbane and north side.
Yeah.
Bricklayers. So there's a shortage of bricklayers, there's been for a long time, but they've gone from $1.10 a brick anywhere up to $2.20 a brick.
Ooh. So they've almost doubled
in price.
Pretty much, so it's the extra 10 grand the builders are going to pay for.
The other thing, there's not only a shortage of workers, but with Labor wanting to increase the average wage as well, builders are going, or employers are going to have to fork out more money to pay their employees, trading. And then with the price increase of product, there's not going to be any money in it, or you're going to have to increase the prices so much, are you going to get the work?
Well, the thing is it's taken us longer to build all the houses because we can't get materials and things like your stone tops, bench tops and things like that.
Yeah.
Tiles, there's shortages of. And then we go into liquidated damages when we go over the contract date.
Yeah, that's right, and that's part of the problem. How's the bloke you're working for? Is he staying head above water?
Stressed.
Just,
exactly. Mm. Hey, listen, you might want to listen to this next week, Adrian, because we got Paul Bidwell, who's the boss of Master Builders Queensland. Howdy, Paul.
G'day, Marta.
You've heard some of what we've been saying. How are your members going?
Well, Adrian is absolutely right. We've just done a tour of the state, so up to Cairns. We've got the Gold Coast tomorrow night, and everyone is saying exactly the same thing. There's no end in sight. We think the price rises, the hikes are with us this year and into next year. And then we face the prospect of interest rates going up, today. And and that would have a major impact. Well, it will have a major impact, those net, because it flows onto property values.
Oh well, that's right. The RBA will be meeting tomorrow, and they'll send the interest rates up again. Would you give advice to somebody going maybe hold off on a new build for 2 years? Well, that's not your job, I guess.
Exactly, but owners, would-be owners, people who are looking to buy or build a new house have got to work with their builder to make sure that the price that they're quoted, they can deliver on, or that they've got in place some arrangement that any increases can be dealt with. Because what you can't have, particularly for first-time buyers, if the prices go up and the builder goes back and says, mate, I need another $35,000, and the first-time buyer says, well, I just haven't got it. I can't borrow it. Now, even though the valuation might have gone up, so we've got this booming property market, which is the only positive in all of this. But if that stops because of interest rate rises, then it's going to be chaos.
The other thing I worry about, Paul, is mental health. You know, we already know that mental health in the construction industry is fragile. And we see suicides, men see no way out. I think it's like 21% of apprentices on work sites at some stage are at risk of committing suicide because of the pressures. This just adds to that. What are we going to be seeing the impact of this out the other side that we won't hear about?
That's a great question, Margot, and it's something we've been talking about for more than 12 months now. And we really don't know what's going to happen. But we've been forecasting builders will tip over, as Adrian said. The bloke he works with is struggling.
Just hanging on.
Hanging on. Well, there are plenty of people hanging on. The accountants are telling us that builders are selling off the family's jewels. They're putting whatever they can into their business. God. And people have kept on, they've kept on going. So if, you know, I think I talked to you a year ago and said there are going to be more people going broke. Well, there have been some, that is true, and I'm happy to say, happy to be proven wrong, there weren't many. Now, I see the accountants, the CPA Australia, are saying there's going to be a flood of people going, getting into trouble soon. Well, we've been saying that for more than a year.
Ages.
So we just don't know. But the impact on mental health is absolutely a major problem. And in this trip we did, and we had builders, big and small, they don't say much in a group, but after, it is a major problem. People on medication, people seeing psychologists, people gravely concerned about their business and their employees.
Mm. Paul, can we keep talking occasionally, mate, because it's going to keep evolving, this situation?
Happy to, Marto. Happy to.
Thanks, cheers, Paul. Mate. Good on you, mate. And if you need to talk to somebody, Lifeline is always there. 13, 11, 14. You're on Triple M.
With Marto and Margo.
Right. We are going to put you on the Triple M Origin jet flight 1045 to Sydney for Origin Game 1. We've given you the moment that you have to identify correctly.
You want another go?
Here it is again.
Yep. Now, they come up out of the scrum.
God, don't they ever come up out of the scrum.
If you need more, we'll give you a little bit more of what happened next. But right now, I think David from Manly West reckons he knows it. How are you, mate?
How you going?
Yeah, you love your Origin?
Love the Origin, mate. Yeah, it's always a good time of the year.
Blues or Queensland supporter?
Queenslander.
That's right.
Okay, so you heard Rabs talk about it. There's obviously a scrum there. What do you think, what happened next, but what year and what game?
I think it's game 2, 1995, where they had a scrum and then just all in brawl abruptly. I think someone had a Queenslander and just was on from there.
Okay.
And makers are plenty.
Now, what you're talking about did actually happen. But
is it the right game? Is it the right year? Should we listen to the next bit and find out?
No, we'll just gong him out.
Oh, sorry,
Dave.
It's not correct.
It's not. But you're right, Margo. We do get to hear a little bit more, though. Mitchell and Tambourine, you get a little bit more of this, Mitch, but are you pretty confident already?
Yeah, definitely.
Hold on, Mitch. Let's play the first one and then play a further clue.
Now they come up out of the scrum.
Now, Andrew Johns is looking for Goddard, the Queensland hooker. What was going on there, Mitch?
That was the famous cattle dog call, game 3, 1997.
Cattle dog.
You're too good.
Yeah, keep listening.
Origin at the Sydney Football Stadium has really blown up.
And there's Andrew Johns trying to get around.
He's landed it right on the pecker.
On the pecker. Whose pecker did he land it on?
Oh, no, Jamie Goddard has smacked Andrew Johns. He needed 32 stitches in his mouth all the way through off here. Oh, yeah, and he got 10 in the bin. While he was getting the 32 stitches, he was in the sin bin as well.
Holy moly. Did you see that game, Mitchell?
No, I didn't. I was a bit of a young fella then, but
How do you know the story then?
Sorry?
How do you know?
How do you know what happened?
Oh, well, Queensland, mate. I know all the history.
Everyone go to work. If you've got a few minutes, just put Goddard versus Andrew Johns, cattle dog, because what happened, Tommy Radonikis had said, and when we need a bit of a fire up, and it had been a fiery game, yell out cattle dog, and everyone stand up and punch the nearest Queenslander.
Red or blue cattle dog? Which one's more fiery?
Well, no specification. It was just general
just
cattle dog.
Yeah. All right, Mitch.
Mitchell, you're on the standby list.
Well done, buddy.
Awesome.
Easy, mate. So you might be getting the big call-up Wednesday morning. Jump on flight 1045, head down to Sydney, accommodation for the night, and you'll be at Origin 1, brother.
You.
He is pumped up.
He's overawed with emotion.
Yeah.
crying.
All right. Mitch is on that standby list. One more spot on the standby list tomorrow.
And then we draw it on Wednesday.
It's game on. Mutto and Margo on
Triple M Breakfast. I'll give you a Truman a start. Can we have the special opener?
Truma.
Told you 2 weeks ago, Channel 9 planning something special for this week's Origin series, and they're going to mic up Brad Fittler and Billy Slater. Correct, okay, but they've gone a little bit further. It's been confirmed to us by our mates at 9. There's going to be extra cameras on the team bus and in the dressing rooms on Wednesday night, so you'll never get a chance. You've never seen cameras and a TV sports show get closer to the players. And what's happening, if you're on 9 now, if you're streaming the Origin on 9 now, you'll have a choice between 4 additional streams. There's going to be Coach Cam, where you get a split screen of both Freddie Fittler and Billy Slater. There's Player Cam, where you'll be able to focus on Nathan Cleary or Cam Munster, and then there's Spider Cam. Incredible. Jeez. So you can watch the action.
Wow.
And then split screens, look at this, all these other factors. Keep an eye on that one.
Incredible. Truma. There you go. Well, what about this one, Marto? I've got a rumour for you.
Yeah.
Dan, you're from the Gold Coast, and you know the Gold Coast was a buzz over the weekend with the Australian Elvis premiere.
We just went through it.
That we were just talking about. I've got a bit of an industry insider. Let's call him Sam.
Okay.
I can't name him because he'll get the sack. But Sam told me that they're currently scouting for locations to shoot Ryan Gosling's new film, The Fall Guy.
Oh,
it's a movie adaptation of the 1980s TV show. Are you aware of it? The Fall Guy used to be a TV show.
No.
Well, Ryan Gosling's coming out here to film
it. He's a big star. What's he been in?
Deadpool.
Yeah.
No, that's Reynolds.
Who am I thinking?
Ryan Gosling. Sorry, The Notebook.
And Fracture with Anthony Hopkins as well.
I haven't seen that one.
Oh, my God. It's amazing. Yeah, check it out.
Well, he's a 2-time Oscar nominee. Blade Runner. The Nice Guys. Yeah. First Man.
I'm with you on Blade Runner. Righto.
They've already locked in locations for filming in Sydney, but they're also looking at locations around southeast Queensland to shoot some of the action scenes for the movie as well. So possibly keep your eyes and ears open.
The guys in the house.
Port of Brisbane.
Okay.
Yeah. Yatala. And even the Gold Coast has been discussed. I mean, they must have heard how great it is to film here.
Georgia.
Anastasia Palaszczuk's been over there sprouting about Queensland and how good Village Roadshow and Warner Brothers movie down there is.
Well, thank you for that, Sam, if that is indeed your real name. We know it's not. You're trying to stay anonymous, but we've got your actual details, so you're in the running to win yourself $1,000 of the easiest cash you've ever made. Get in touch. We want to hear your rumours. 1-3-3-5-3 or 0484-10-1045. I've committed it to memory.
Amazing.
We're away. Rumour file. Get in touch. Triple M, Marto and Margo. The Queen's Jubilee over the weekend. Mm. It is Marto and Margo on Triple M.
Well, let's just analyse what happened over there.
Okay.
Now, you say I'm a royal watcher. That's being silly because I'm not.
Margo, how many packages turn up with royal paraphernalia for Marto?
Last week, Marto ripped the paper that he had on his screen with Ash Barty on it and went, "That's it, you're out." And the Queen's in, and he put up a photo of the Queen on his desk, and she's still sitting there to this day. So you can't tell me you don't have an...
You've got the magazine. You flip straight to the centrefold, which is a bit creepy.
How is the Queen?
Now, listen, let's just talk about the Queen. Big weekend, 4-day weekend. Day one, she fronted up, didn't she?
Was that when she's wearing the green out on the balcony?
No, that's day four.
That's day four.
She went missing day 2 and 3 because she said, "Yeah, well, old people can do that. I can't cop the lot of you." Even though they're paying homage to her, she would have said, "I'm old, I can do whatever I like." That's what happens when you get old. Day four, she fronted up again. There she is. And
waving.
Did a little wave with her crooked teeth. How come her teeth are so bad?
Who was up there? Kate and Wills and the three kiddies and then Camilla and Charles.
What about the
booing? Meghan and Harry.
What about the Payne Haas treatment of Prince Harry and
they
Meghan?
They got booed. She looked a little rattled. You know, she had that sort of smile on that she was putting on her face, but you could tell that the booing had rattled her.
Can I just check, is there any other 73-year-old men when they're making a speech saying this?
"Your Majesty, Mummy."
73, mate. Time to push on. That could be our future king. Anyway, the Queen was 20 kilometres away, all right? She was up the road. She couldn't be stuffed coming to day 2 or 3, as I said. But Prince Charles, he wanted to annoy her.
"So if we cheer loudly enough, she might just hear us."
Can you imagine? I'm 96. Shut up! I love you, people!
Turn the hearing aid down.
Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Payne Haas. It was an extraordinary story in the Sunday Mail yesterday, Margo, and I went, "Oh, this will be interesting," after everyone had booed him, "What's that?" only a week or so ago.
Mm.
But they've obviously written this story to soften his image a little bit, going, here's a human story about the real pain Haas, okay, rather than just, oh, this is what he gets up to, la, la, la.
Yeah.
It's a story about, and we've heard some of the stories that the Haas family grew up down the coast, 10 kids, etc., but his brother died 2 years ago. But if they started to dig a little bit deeper and describe... Payne Haas was named, well, you know the story as well. There was a car accident when Payne's mum, Joan, Payne Haas's mum, Joan, was 5 months pregnant. They had a very serious car accident in a little Ford Laser.
Mm.
And his brother broke his neck, spinal cord.
The whiplash from the car accident was so bad that
became a quadriplegic.
Ventilated quadriplegic. 5 months old.
And his name was Chase. And that's why Payne Haas, born 4 months later, mother was in pain. She didn't know what to do, so she called him Payne. And I didn't know his middle name's Lucky because they were lucky that they survived. So Payne Lucky Haas, but they went on to tell the story and I go, God, this is interesting. That kid lived to 20 years of age and only died maybe two years ago, and they built this enormous mausoleum up the back in the hinterland down the Gold Coast. They built this enormous mausoleum, a huge structure near their swimming pool, and they've caught him in a coffin inside.
Mm.
Incredible.
I didn't know this. Did you?
I didn't know that you could do that.
That's where I wanted to get to.
Ed Sheeran, who just played at the Queen's Jubilee over the weekend. We all know who he is. Yeah, he has on his. He's got like Sheeranville or something, big property in the UK.
What? There's ready to go? What, ready his to parents go, or something?
Ready to go. He reckons the family.
Like him, I know people who have plots at cemeteries ready for them to be buried when they die so that they can be buried as a family. So they've got plots 1, 2, 3, 4 underneath each other. But that's at a cemetery. I didn't realise,
you could take them home.
I've got my dogs buried in the front yard. I didn't realise you could actually have human remains on a property. What if you sell that or...
You'd need a permit, wouldn't you? You'd need the council would need to be aware that if they go digging, there's going to be human bones there. Yeah. Don't worry, it's not suspicious.
It's a cultural thing now, though, Marto.
I don't know if there's Samoans or Tongans, but over in Samoa, in Apia, you'd even drive around the little streets. There's a lot of these mausoleums in the back of people's houses. Like So maybe that's what it is. But can we play the opening music, please?
There you go.
Is it a thing? Is this a thing? Can anyone tell us how you get to take a loved one's body and leave it at your house? Like, you don't have to bury it in a public cemetery or burn it.
I think in the story, Marto, they say that it took them 12 months to be able to get his body.
Oh, I didn't read that.
Authority of it. They got...
Get custody or something.
Custody of the body. It took them 12 months and I think there was a heavy process to be able to do it. But I believe it's a cultural thing in their culture. They like to have their family members close so that's why they wanted to have him. But it's like a full shrine. It's got a gold casket, everything.
Oh, here we go. We had to get legal advice and write a letter to the council. We dealt with the funeral home and had to send all the relevant paperwork to the Gold Coast Council and we requested... Oh, my God.
Approval for the structure?
Mate, I get it. I get it.
It's like a shed.
Tom Hanks is in town. We all remember Forrest Gump, Jenny under the tree there.
Under the tree.
Keep her nice and close, you know.
Has anyone else done this? Like, are you aware of it happening? I've never heard of anyone doing it. And my sister was in the funeral business for 30 years and I'd never heard about it.
Jared from Acacia Ridge, 133353. Burying human remains in the backyard, is it a thing?
Oh, it definitely is for my family up in Papua New Guinea.
Yeah.
We've got property just outside of Port Moresby.
Yeah.
And we've got about 6 family members buried there.
Okay.
6.
And there's plans for more to be buried.
So is it something that you have to have approval for? I'm not sure what the laws are around in PNG. Is it something that you need approval for? Or is it a cultural thing? Is it something that happens quite regularly over there?
It's more of a cultural thing for our family especially. The cemetery there they aren't up to good nick.
Yeah.
The public cemetery, so we chose to
do your
look
own
after them ourselves. Yeah.
So you look after that little cemetery area at the property because that's what happens out west here. If you've got a property and you're 1,000 kilometres from us here in Brizzy, you run your own cemetery because that's your family property. Could have been in your family for 100 years. So.
Yeah, but we're not talking thousands of kilometres away out west. We're talking on the Gold Coast, 30 minutes down the road. Yeah.
Or we're talking in New Guinea.
In Papua New Guinea.
Yeah. Hey, Jared,
10 minutes out of Port Moresby,
to sound insensitive, but if you're going back, say, 9 generations and, you know, the mausoleum's getting full, do you ever take anyone out? Right. You know what I mean?
How many people can you put in there?
Yeah, how long do you have to maintain this thing for? Like, if there's someone from, you know, hundreds of years ago that you don't, you're like, oh, I don't even know who this bloke is anymore. Do you whip him out to clear up some space? How's it work?
Well, my immediate uncle is buried there in a tomb.
Yeah.
and there was plans to remove them, but never got into
So they're buried. They're not just in a mausoleum. They're buried below the ground.
No, my uncle is in a tomb.
He's in a tomb. What about you, Jared? I mean, you obviously live here in Brisbane. Will you be buried back in PNG when you pass?
No, mate, I think I'm Australian now.
You stay here. Okay.
Thank you, Jared.
Thanks, Jared. I like the idea, though, of going and doing the list of everyone who's in there going, God, we got to clear up some space. Okay, yes. So Uncle Jerry.
George is gone.
It's time to go. Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margo. How good's a Sunday night drive-through dinner? That's what we did last night, Marto. Massive weekend of sport. Kids here, there and everywhere. Got home last night. Memphis blew out her ankle at a netball carnival yesterday. The last thing I wanted to do was cook dinner. So I said, let's go. What does everybody want? Macca's! In we went. Drive-through at Macca's.
Hey.
And we feasted upon something that I'd never heard before. It was the kid. Now, let me say it right, because last night I said it wrong when I asked the lady, can I have four Kid Lowry meals?
The kid?
Yeah.
The kid? Meal.
Kid Lowry. Not the Happy Meal for kids. It's the Kid Lowry meal.
Kid Lowry.
And then I realised.
Kidlery. Is that one word?
No.
Kidlery.
I then find out it's Kid Leroy. This guy.
What a banger, Marta.
Kid Leroy.
You'd be happy with this one, yeah?
He has his own meal.
Hold on.
Come on, Marta. Do a twerk for us.
What sort of music do you call that apart from annoying?
That's what they play on the girly station.
Pop, yes, mate. I know. The girly station. Hallway.
It's pop, mate.
Yeah, it's pop.
Come on.
But Kid Leroy. Kid Leroy is a thing.
We're going to get that dumpy on TikTok, Marta.
Breakfast cereal. That's the end. That'll never get played again.
No.
Are they got a meal called after him?
Macca's have got a meal called Kid Leroy. The Kid Leroy meal. And it's all Kid Leroy's favourite things. And who better to tell us what's in the Kid Leroy meal than Kid Leroy himself?
Hey, I'm Kid Leroy. And this is my Macca's meal. I get a 6-piece chicken McNuggets with barbecue sauce, a cheeseburger, no pickles, a side of medium fries, and of course, a Coke. And now you can get it too.
Like his music, it makes you hungry about 5 minutes later.
If I'd only seen the ad before I went through the drive-thru, called him Kid Lowry, and then asked for no pickles on the cheeseburgers because Kid Leroy doesn't have pickles on his cheeseburger. Marto and Margo,
Triple M Breakfast. We got to address this because we have the burner phone there and people over the weekend go, oh, I know what I need to contact them about. And it was about, was it Friday, I think, when we were talking about people with same names as famous people.
Do you want to hear a few?
Yeah.
It's me. I'm told that I've got the same name, but my name's Dan Murphy.
Some of my brother worked with works in a big electrical company, and the guy's name was Hugh Hefner.
Someone I worked with, Drew Barrymore, the poor guy.
What about them? Here's another one. These are on the burner phone. I did my apprenticeship with a David Bowie who then had a motorcycle crash into Errol Flynn in the 80s. Thank you, Shane.
Stop it.
Oh, no, it's weird. That's what people didn't have a chance to ring. Obviously, they started to load up after the show was over.
What about my stepfather, Jim Barnes, and my brother is Chris Martin, Neil from Cornubia.
That's unbelievable.
Chris Martin, of course, from Coldplay.
Tell me that's not Neil Finn from Cornubia.
This is what happens. I'm a support worker. Who's this? Doesn't say a name. I'm a support worker and worked with a young man called Corey Parker. He loved the Broncos, Corey, so much, and he was so proud he had the same name. And so he used to tell everyone, my name's Corey Parker, like the Broncos player.
That's cute.
You've got to set something up for him.
Yeah.
Get him a sign, something.
What about Stephen? He worked with John Howard. Not the John Howard, the Prime Minister.
Just another John Howard.
Who's working at Johnson & Johnson, both short and bald, but there's no comparison ends. That is where the comparison ends, I apologise.
I think he's referencing the eyebrows there, short and bald,
How would you go through life like this? Like a lot of the people, leave your name if you feel like it, doesn't. He's left his own because he said his name. My name and my wife's name are the same, just spelt differently. I'm Jamie Pierce and she's Jamie Pierce.
That's my mate Sam Newton, dated a Sam Newton.
Sam Newton.
A Samantha and a Samuel.
And another one of these, my mate of mine is named Ashley and his missus name's Ashley too. And, of course, they have the last name. Ashley and Ashley. This is the weirdest thing.
One of them has to be Ash, right? If you're in a relationship with an Ashley and an Ash.
Ash is it's the like, boy?
You'd go, Ash is the bloke, Ashley's the girl.
What about this one? Josh Schwartz has written in. He said, Josh Schwartz, I've got the same name as the writer of the TV show The OC.
Very obscure.
Wow.
Who are our listeners watches the OC or knows who the rider is. I mean, seriously.
Do I need to explanation?
It was a TV show set in the Hollywood Hills in 2000, I think early 2000s. Great. Misha Barton was in it. Adam Brody.
Ryan.
Rachel Bilson.
Summer.
Righto.
Seth. Was Seth the nerdy
Seth
one?
Seth was Adam Brody.
Oh, God,
yeah.
I used to watch it when I lived at Emmanuel College at UQ.
So you
Peter
watched
Gallagher
it?
Was oh, in mate. It.
But did either of you know who wrote it?
No. No idea.
Of course not.
All right, Josh.
Josh had an idea.
Yeah, come on, Josh.
Josh
knew.
Out. Amber Heard was in it too. She also featured. Oh. Amber Turd, you might know her.
Yeah,
as
I know.
Yeah.
So Amber Turd. In the burner fight.
How's she going?
Not good.
What sort of weekend did she have?
It's not good.
Trying to scratch together $15
million. Yeah. Well, she's going to get $2 million off Johnny's lawyers, so that'll take the pain off a little bit. The lawyers defamed her, so she'll get an easy $2 million, but then she's got to pay
find
$13 million.
Yeah.
It's a bit of fun, isn't it? Should we give out the burner phone number?
0484 10 1045.
Get in touch.
Marto and Margot. Triple M Breakfast.
Well, like I saw the government splashing a bit of cash around. I went, oh, that's interesting.
The Palaszczuk government today allocating almost $40 million in the state budget to help protect her species.
Koalas are under a lot of threat. We all know that. And sadly, for us to be able to turn things around, funding is what we need to be able to make a difference. Mm.
$40 million to look
Who
after
was that
koalas.
Talking? That wasn't Anastasia Palaszczuk.
No, some bloke from Currumbin.
Wildlife Sanctuary.
Well, one of those sort of things.
That was Kenny the koala, mate.
he's the ambassador. He just got $40 million to look after koalas.
Isn't our, like, health system in a crisis at the moment, Queensland's
That's
hospitals?
Because all the koalas are in the ambulance ramping.
Yeah,
They face various threats, I accept that.
Every year, almost 500 koalas are treated at the hospital. Life-threatening diseases like chlamydia and the threat of natural disasters key factors in their decline.
Let's have a look at this. I know they're cute and they've got a distinctive appearance and they're quite famous, koalas, correct? They're not bears, they're wombats who live up a tree. Let's face facts. But quite simply, you heard it there, chlamydia. How do you get chlamydia? Because you root around too much. These things are disgusting sexual predators who also drink all day. They're on the eucalypts, they're on the terps, which is why they're always asleep, and then they go raping. Fair dinkum, $40 million for koalas. It's overrated.
It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show.
Triple M.